If you love independent films, the Jewish Film Festival in St. Louis is coming up, and that's something that you don't want to miss, especially if you love the actor Gene Wilder. Welcome to St. Louis in Tune, and thank you for joining us for fresh perspectives on issues and events with experts, community leaders, and everyday people who are driving change and making an impact that shapes our society and world. I'm Arnold Stricker with Mark Langston. Mark, how are you? It's been a while, sir.
It has. I don't like these lulls in our get-togethers.
You've been on assignment.
I've been on assignment. It's all springtime in St. Louis. That means a lot of sports are happening,
and yes,
the stations are involved in a lot of sports here.
Yes,
the Cardinals and the St. Louis soccer team, and
right,
we've had a lot of that kind of thing going on.
As long as the wind doesn't blow everybody away, we'll be okay.
My goodness, isn't that something? The wind is really something.
I don't remember the wind blowing yesterday as hard as it's been blowing in many recent years.
Yeah, no fires.
I was walking the dog, and I thought, this is not going to be good.
Holding on to things.
So let's return to civility and give some folks some fresh perspectives here. When coming in from a day at the beach, wash the sand from your feet before entering the house. I did that recently, Mark, by the way.
You just rub it in.
I am. Likewise, stomp the snow from your boots. We've had snow in April here in St. Louis. Yeah. And if you've been playing volleyball in the mud, you may just want to hose off in the yard.
Okay.
You know what's nice are these outdoor showers. Those are cool because you can wash your feet, you can take a shower, as long as it's one of those covered showers, not one of those out in the open jobs.
Right. Oh, no, you don't want that.
No.
No, it'd scare people.
That's right.
Scare the neighbors.
That's right. Unless you're way out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Scare the animals.
And it's really important because sand especially.
Oh,
everywhere.
Sand is the worst.
Everywhere.
I agree. Sand is absolutely the worst. It seems to get, no matter how much you clean it off, it's still shows up.
And it's one of those things we talked about when you enter a house, too, even taking off your shoes and to make sure you don't have holy socks on.
Yeah.
Why is people don't want to see your toenails and your toes?
Yeah.
So,
that's for sure.
Because we walk around outside and get all kinds of critters on the bottom of our shoes.
Right. Nail fungus, all that stuff.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is a the
This just is a great segue into
this is
what
the
we're
bright
gonna,
part of the show.
How am I going to segue this? Well, the bright part of the show is we have John Wilson, who's the Director of Cultural Arts at the J, the Jewish Community Center. He's an actor in stage, commercials, and film. He had a 20-year teaching career at the University of Central Missouri. And one of the things I really liked, he worked at stages here in St. Louis, but he's still a fight director. And I had to look that up, and I'll have him talk about that some more.
Wait, a fight?
A fight director, yeah.
A fight director.
Yeah.
It sounds much more dangerous than it really is.
I thought maybe he knows Mike Tyson or something.
I don't know. This is pretty scary.
But when he was at the University of Central Missouri, he was the chair and professor of theater and head of the School of Visual and Performing Arts. He has a Bachelor of Fine Arts from Arizona State and a Master's of Fine Arts from the National Theater Conservatory. John, welcome to St. Louis in Tune.
Thank you so much, Arnold. It's great to be here.
Now, let's get right to the fight director thing. What is a fight director?
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. So
he works for the CIA.
So whenever you see any kind of violence on stage, that is typically the illusion of violence. There are many plays that have moments where characters will break out in some kind of a fist fight. There's a lot of slaps on stage between characters. And there is a methodology to creating that illusion of violence that keeps the actor safe, but still tells the story effectively enough where the audience isn't taken out of the moment.
Gotcha.
And they actually see, oh, this is a very uncomfortable moment of violence on stage. There is a whole technique to learning how to do stage combat. And there's all sorts. There's rapier and dagger if you're using weaponry, but then a lot of just hand-to-hand unarmed combat. And so I did Society of American Fight Directors training throughout my grad school and afterwards, and got certified in rapier and dagger and unarmed combat and even quarterstaff.
To be choreographed, doesn't it?
Yeah, so the whole thing is like a dance, right? You learn the moves of the fight like you would learn a dance, and then you practice it very slowly, and you get it into your body, and then you slowly but surely start to increase the speed. And most fight directors are they're a little bit loath to ever have real contact get made. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the staging that you are in will demand that you actually do have a contact slap, which is something that we did in All My Sons, which is currently running at the New Jewish Theater. Mm. There was no way around it. It's a deep thrust stage. There was no way to mask it, no way to create the illusion. So then I had to teach those actors how to slap and receive a slap safely where they won't get hurt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, when you were doing that, and as you still do that, I know back in the day they used to, slap a piece of meat or something, or to make that sound when they were faking that. Do you do those sound effects too? Or?
So part of creating the illusion is to create what's called the nap. Mm-hmm. So that is the sound effect mm-hmm. of someone being hit. Mm-hmm. But most of the time you want to do that. You want that sound to come from on stage. And so typically it's actually one of the actors on stage that is making that sound. Although slapping raw meat is...
No.
That is a technique that I was never taught. I'm not sure where that idea came from. But
I saw that in some sound effect film or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know if that would be effective on stage, but I really would love to see the look on a director's face when I said, why don't you bring out a steak? And we're just going to really slap it around. During the show.
Beef, right? Then we're going to put it on the grill.
Tenderize it that way.
Exactly. What do you use to tenderize your meat? I slap it around.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Wow. All right. So
this is really going.
You guys have a big opening night coming up April 7th, and the season is April 7th through the 18th. Run us through what's going to be going on. There are, my gosh, 10 movies you're going to be having shown, and then some shorts, and let's get that part a little bit.
So this is our 29th annual St. Louis Jewish Film Festival.
Wow,
holy smokes!
Yeah, it has been going on for quite a while.
I would say so.
And what's really special about this year? There are so many changes, and we can get into some of those changes that we've made coming into this specific year. But we've got 11 films. But then if you add the 5 shorts that we're playing on opening day, it's a total of 16 films playing Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays of those 2 weeks between April 7th and the 18th. The opening day is extremely special because we are actually showing 5 student films from Sapir College in Sirot. They've got a premier film school. And the connection there is a gentleman by the name of Stan Hoffman, who's a St. Louis resident, and his daughter, Yasmin Hoffman, is in her final year at this film school over in Israel. And they typically have their annual film festival at Sapir. It shows at Cinema South there in Sirot, and it's typically near the end of October. October 7th changed everything. Those terrorist attacks just shut everything down. The school had to be evacuated. Even to this day, they're not back at Sapir. They're finishing the year remotely, as well as some hybrid on a number of different campuses within Israel. But Sapir is still completely shut down. So when we heard that these students weren't going to get to do their film festival, we started thinking, is there a way that we can honor these Israeli student filmmakers, show support as the Jewish Community Center, so show support for Israel? And so we came up with the idea of curating from what they offered us, which was about 12 different films. We narrowed it down to 5 that we just thought would really show well at the festival. And Yasmin Hoffman is actually flying in from Israel.
Right.
And so she's going to talk about her experience as a student in the film school at Sapir, talk about Eleanor, which is the specific film that she was the producer on. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to get into a conversation about just what it means to be an Israeli filmmaker post-October 7th and just how things turned upside down for them, but how they're persevering.
Yeah, there were some interesting stories behind the scenes, no pun intended with the movie kind of thing or the theater, but about them being safe when they were being attacked at the time.
Yeah, so for example, Eleanor itself was filmed on one of the kibbutzes that was directly attacked.
Oh,
and there was a 26-year-old head of security, a female that they call the female Rambo, and she and her team had to kill several terrorists and then hold them off for hours before IDF could get there and get them all evacuated. And then we've got, the main protagonist in our opening film, Unwell Mind. Just beautiful woman, Yaeli, who is 36 years old. She's intellectually, she's got some intellectual
challenges.
Yeah, some challenges. And both her parents were murdered.
Mm.
And so her father was murdered in the attack, and her mother was taken hostage and later killed by Hamas. And another protagonist in one of the documentaries called Shelters, a 79-year-old man, actually fought off the terrorists so that his wife could escape their home. But then he was taken hostage, and we don't know his status.
Wow.
So several human interest stories that are also surrounding all of those who were involved in the making of these films. These films obviously weren't about October 7th. These were students just doing their thing, getting ready for their own film festival. And they're great. They're really great films. We've got an animated film called Pepchuk, and we've got a couple of documentaries, and then Eleanor is a comedy. And, and so it's just going to be such a great way to and just celebrate them, support Israel, celebrate these student filmmakers. And honestly, we could have chosen all 12. To narrow it down to the five was just because we needed to think about time and format and things like that. Yeah. But this film school is turning out filmmakers who are doing, this is exactly the kind of thing that you would expect to see from a professional if you were to buy a ticket, walk into a movie theater, sit down and watch a film.
Wow. Speaking of buying tickets, how can people get tickets to opening night and some of the other films that are going to be shown?
Yeah, so they can go to our website, which is stljewishfilmfestival.org. And there they can get opening day tickets. They can get tickets to individual films. They can also call our film box office, which is 314-442-3179. And most likely they'll speak to Hannah Ryan. And they can also email Hannah for tickets, which is at jccstl.org. And while we're talking about tickets, I just want to say, boy, now is the time to act. We had an all-access festival pass, and we had to shut it down. We sold out. And
yeah, I looked it up last night. It was like, nope, sorry.
And here it is over a week before the festival even opens, and we've already had to shut that down. But individual tickets are still available. I'm in communication with B&B Theaters, where we're showing the festival in Creve Coeur. We might have to start adding a second theater to some of the films, just because the demand's been really high.
Because as you were talking a little bit before the show started, that some of these individual films, they're filling up fast, and they have maybe five or seven seats left. So people need to act quickly.
Well, they really do. And here's the thing. The committee that I work with, I have this amazing 16-person volunteer committee. We watched nearly 80 films.
Oh, my gosh.
So the 11 that we are showing, of course, we've got our opening day, but the remainder of the 11, the adage of the cream rises to the top.
Right. I
mean, every single one of these films is a don't miss film. And it's I know it sounds so cliche to say, oh, come see every film.
Right.
They're all so good. You won't be disappointed. Yeah. But honestly, like every one of them has a different in your level of engagement, just looking at the human condition, whether it's going to be a documentary, whether it's going to be a romance, whether it's going to be a comedy, a drama, whether it's going to be Holocaust related, whatever it is, that in for each film is so unique. And then it is done with such excellence. I'll be at the festival. I'm going to watch every film.
Yeah.
Again, I'll be seeing it for the third or fourth time, and I can't wait.
And some even weave all of those themes together in some way or another, a love story
during
the Holocaust. And,
you
know, and so it's very good. Now, this is April 7th through the 18th, folks, and it's April 7, 9, 11, 14, 16, 18 at the B&B Theater in Creve Coeur. John, how do you go and the committee go about selecting films? Do you put out like, hey, we've been doing this for a long time, this is a theme that we're going around, or these are some guidelines that we're going to be looking for to judge these films, which ones we want? How do you go about doing that?
Ultimately, because we've been doing this for nearly 30 years, we are really acquainted with all of the international film festivals and filmmakers. We get a number of films from Europe. We get films from Israel. We get films really all over the world. Some of them obviously also made in the United States. And our requisite is really, we just want to make sure there is a Jewish lens through which we can be watching this story. Not every film is ever going to be Holocaust related. That would be, sometimes it's just that this was an Israeli film, an Israeli filmmaker, a Jewish person made the film, and it may not have a ton of Jewish content in it. But we just want to make sure that we are having some kind of Jewish connection. And that's really the only criteria, because we also, as the J does, in always reaching out to our entire community, we have a lot of non-Jewish people that come to the Jewish Film Festival because they just want to see good cinema and good storytelling. So, yeah, we want that Jewish lens. We want to make sure that we are, you know, we're at least looking through it in that perspective. But we have... We see what's going on at other film festivals. We are in constant contact with distributors, are often courting us, sending us films.
Wow.
So a lot of what we curate and look through has been sent to us. We have to do very little solicitation. We just have to keep our thumb on the pulse of what's popular this year, what just came out, what are some of the earlier festivals doing, or I'll start paying attention to what all the rest of the year's festivals are doing post-April, the things that are happening this fall. Those are things that I might want to consider for next spring.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Is there an average length on these films, or are they all...
Our longest one is, I believe, The Shadow of the Day. That's about 2 hours.
Wow.
Most of them will run that standard hour and a half, an hour 40 maybe. We've got one, a short film that's embedded into the one that's not opening day. Those are all short films. We've got another short film called Heritage Day, which is 20 minutes that we're showing in conjunction with the Catskills, which is a great documentary. And most of the documentaries are going to be an hour to an hour and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. Standard length.
It's a long day then. I don't want to say long, but...
No, interesting though, Mark. So the 2023 Film Festival was over 5 days, and it was 16 films, consecutive 5 days, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 7 o'clock. And our patrons were exhausted. Part of what we wanted to do, we changed up a ton this year, but one of it was like... Why are we trying to cram 16 films into these 5 days? Let's do a 2-week festival. Let's do every other day. Let's just do 2 films a day, just a 3:30 and a 7. Give people a break. I think 2 films a day is very consumable, especially when they're really different. You get a dinner break in between, and you know that you're going to an event. Well, it's like, hey, I'm going to engage myself this week for 1 or 2 or maybe all 3 days because this is an annual special event, and I really want to participate. We want to make it easier to participate and help people with their own sense of endurance.
Right.
But by the end of the 5 days last year, I think you walked out with like seasonal depression because you'd been in the dark for 9 hours a day for 5 days straight.
Ate a little vitamin D. I know. I went to the St. Louis Film Festival, and most of those films were like 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
That's why I asked. But this is great. They're full length.
Yeah.
And they're all English, I would suspect.
Well, we've got, I'd say they're probably close to half and half.
Okay.
We've got a number of subtitled films because we're getting them from Europe and they're being done. In their original language, and some of the Israeli, all the Israeli films being done in Hebrew or wherever they happen to be in the language that they're using. So we have subtitled films, which are surprisingly easy to follow. In the digital age where we spend so much time on screen, it's amazing how quickly...
When I watch the English shows on television, I've got the subtitles on.
It's happening more and more now.
Yeah, especially as Mark and I become more seasoned.
I do.
Yes.
I know. The kids are turning off the subtitles now on the TV.
Oh, no.
They come in. Dad's been watching TV, and they turn it off. But I find, because sometimes I miss things, and it's great to have that text. Sometimes they just talk softer, or it's just different sometimes. Yeah. Anyway, maybe it's just me getting old. I don't know. I doubt it. No, I'm not kidding.
But we have the subtitled ones are really, they're still really easy to follow.
I bet.
All of our brains have really made that adjustment. Right. And then we've got plenty in English as well.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
This is Arnold Stricker with Mark Langston of St. Louis in Tune. We're talking to John Wilson, who's Director of Cultural Arts at the Jewish Community Center. And, John, I just want to read some of these movies here that are coming up. You have My Neighbor Adolf, which is comedy night. The short on that was very interesting. Remembering Gene Wilder, That sounds fun. Was fun when I saw that little clip of that.
Yeah, can we take a moment just to talk
Absolutely.
About that for a second?
Absolutely.
This is, if you are a Gene Wilder fan,
and
I don't know, I think we're all similar ages, and so I know that we grew up watching a lot of his films, but his staying power, you can watch Young Frankenstein or any number of the films that put him on the map, and Frisco Kid, whatever. There's so many. But to learn about him as a person, to learn about the arc of his career, to learn about his time being married to Gilda Radner, learn about his second marriage, and ultimately just some of the battles that he had as his life was ending. It is one of the warmest, most endearing documentaries, and it gives you so many clips from so many. It's so fun just to sit and just watch some of the highlights of his work. And then on top of that, we're actually bringing in Glenn Kirschbaum, who was the writer and co-director of the documentary. And so he's coming in from L.A. on April 9th, and he's going to give a little pre-film talk about his experience, but then open it up for Q&A afterwards and talk about what it was like to just work on this film. And
he and Richard Pryor were just hilarious
Oh, my gosh. Stir Crazy?
Yeah. I forgot about that.
What a great movie.
Yeah. Yes. Yes,
I have to go back and watch that now. Because all those old ones like that were just, I don't want to call them classics, but they're special in a different way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so in anticipation that opening day was going to sell well, and in anticipation of remembering Gene Wilder, we actually asked for the grand screen at B&B Theaters, which is a 195-seat theater, and we're already over 150 with Gene Wilder.
Wow.
And so, like, seats are going. If there is a theme to this show, it is get your tickets now.
Yes.
They are really starting to fill up. And the next largest theater that B&B had was an 81-seater, which is what the rest of the festival is going to be in. Mm. But even those are starting to sell. Mm. So, yeah, can't emphasize getting your tickets fast.
Get your tickets, folks, at stljewishfilmfestival.org, stljewishfilmfestival.org, 314-442-3179. So we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk more to John Wilson. He's Director of Cultural Arts at the J, the Jewish Community Center, and we are talking about the Jewish Film Festival. And we're going to get into the book festival a little bit, which he oversees, and the Jewish Theater, and some other things about... I want to find out if he actually surfed when he was in Hawaii. This is Arnold Stricker with Mark Langston of St. Louis in Tune. We'll be right back. This is Arnold Stricker of St. Louis in Tune on behalf of the Dred Scott Heritage Foundation. In 1857, the Dred Scott decision was a major legal event and catalyst that contributed to the Civil War. The decision declared that Dred Scott could not be free because he was not a citizen. The 14th Amendment, also called the Dred Scott Amendment, granted citizenship to all born or naturalized here in our country and was intended to overturn the U.S. Supreme Court decision on July 9, 1868. The Dred Scott Heritage Foundation is requesting a commemorative stamp to be issued from the U.S. Postal Service to recognize and remember the heritage of this amendment by issuing a stamp with the likeness of the man Dred Scott. But we need your support and the support of thousands of people who would like to see this happen. To achieve this goal, we ask you to download, sign, and share the one-page petition with others. To find the petition, please go to dredscottlives.org and click on the Dred Scott Petition Drive on the right side of the page. On behalf of the Dred Scott Heritage Foundation, this has been Arnold Stricker of St. Louis in Tune.
St. Louis in Tune strives to bring you informative, useful, and reflective stories and interviews about current and historic issues and events that involve people, places, and things. Our topics cover a wide range, such as the arts, crime, education, employment, faith, finance, food, health, history, housing, humor, justice, and even sports. And that's just to name a few. While St. Louis in Tune originates from the Gateway City and covers local topics, we connect to what is going on nationally as well. If you enjoy what you hear, please take time and share and subscribe to this show and listen to other previous shows that can be found on our website, stlintune.com. That's stlintune.com. Or on your favorite podcast platform. That's stlintune.com. stlintune.com. And if you've got an idea that you'd like for us to examine a little deeper, let us know by dropping us a note at stlintune@gmail.com. That's stlintune@gmail.com. St. Louis In Tune, heard Monday through Friday on the usradionetwork.com and many great radio stations around the U.S. and, of course, right here in St. Louis. Our website again is stlintune.com. We want to hear from you. stlintune.com.
Welcome back to St. Louis In Tune. This is Arnold Stricker with Mark Langston. We are talking to John Wilson, Director of Cultural Arts at the Jewish Community Center, and we're discussing the 29th St. Louis Jewish Film Festival, which takes place April 7th through the 18th at the B&B Theaters in Creve Coeur. And folks, if you want tickets, and you must do this quickly because they are selling out fast, stljewishfilmfestival.org or 314-442-3179. Before the break, we were talking about whether John was a surfer out in Hawaii. Were you a surfer out in Hawaii?
I did try surfing once on a board, and I fell. I did that kind of fall where your feet kick the board like 10 feet in the air, and then it comes down like towards you like a missile. Ooh. And it went into the water and right next to me, and the fin on the underside like got me. Ooh. And I was like, ooh, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. But I did do body surfing.
Okay.
That's windsurfing.
Challenging.
Was actually to be on a surfboard with nothing else to hang on to as a balance point. I felt like that was actually quite difficult. Windsurfing, you're on the board and you've got this like little mast that's coming out of your surfboard, and you've got the sail that you're hanging on to. And so you're working with the wind and the balance. And I actually found that much easier. And then on a really good windy day, you could just be like racing across the ocean.
Do you lock your feet into the board or no?
Some do have that.
Yeah.
I didn't. The type of board that I had didn't have that. It was probably good because I fell a lot. I probably would have broken my ankles or something. So it's probably good that I had nothing like strapping me down to the board.
Interesting.
But yeah, windsurfing.
Wow.
Man, that's
fascinating.
That was my sport.
That's interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
A beach bum. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's
great.
Yeah.
Man, you go from sunshine and beach to just sunshine and heat.
Yeah.
And yeah. Arizona. Oh, when I went to Arizona. Yeah.
And humidity.
And then you go to cold and snow in Denver.
Yeah.
Then you come to Missouri where you get it all.
I know it.
Go ahead.
No. I was just all about diversifying my weather experiences growing up. It was really important to me.
Fantastic. Where are the theaters that everything's showing at? Where is it located? Where is that theater?
So, yeah, it's on Olive.
It's just past Lindbergh.
Yeah.
On the north side.
West of Lindbergh.
West of Lindbergh, yes.
Okay.
Or if you were if you were on Olive heading towards 270, you just go a little bit less than a mile past 270.
Okay. It's between 270 and Lindbergh on the north side.
I know where you're talking about now.
Yeah.
What's that? Mosley Road around there. There's a Schnucks near
there. It's across the street, I think.
Correct.
And we could also just actually give the address.
That would be helpful, too.
It is 12657 Olive Boulevard. It's in Creve Coeur. It's got a really nice zip, 63141.
Right.
All of our phones can put that into their maps, and you won't miss it.
There you go.
Okay.
So we have previously talked about some of these shows that were going on. I mentioned My Neighbor Adolf and Remembering Gene Wilder. Then you have Exodus 91, The Way to Happiness. You have Lover's Sunday, which is about matchmaking. It's matchmaking. It's the Lover's Sunday shows. Then you have The Story of Annette Zelman. And Heritage Day and the Catskills. But the Catskills was a huge deal. And is that completely just abandoned now? Or?
Yeah, for the most part.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what this documentary is about. It's like looking at the Catskills in the heyday as an exclusively Jewish escape, a resort for them in the mountains. During a lot of the times, it's so weird to think that something is what I would still consider modern, of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, that there were, like, in a sense, whether it was explicit or implicit, just some non-Jewish spaces that Jews just weren't welcomed. And to their credit, like they have done throughout their entire history, they made a space for themselves.
Right.
And then it became, like, incredibly popular, and so many comedians and musicians got their start in the Catskills. And so it's a really fun documentary because you go back to those mm-hmm. heydays, but then you're also aware of how it started to transition away from that. It just was one of those things that was mainly generational. So mm-hmm. it had a good 30, 40-year run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it was over.
Yeah.
Then we get into Love Gets a Room. I found this next one. Is it Vishniak?
Vishniak.
I thought, and I was not familiar with him as a photographer, but it seemed, looking at the little preview that I had and some of his photographs, really reminded me of a lot of things that were done during the WPA. And
right.
taking photographs of scenes and individuals as they're going through life. And his are, well, I'll let you describe it. I won't talk about it.
Well, yeah, he was on assignment for the American Joint Distribution Committee. And so he was photographing Jewish life in Eastern Europe, but it was before deportations and it was before the Holocaust. And so he ended up filming Jewish communities in Europe that ultimately were completely wiped out. So mm-hmm. his photographs become the only record of the people and the families and the neighborhoods and entire townships. Mm-hmm. Really amazing. Plus, he was also a scientist as well.
Really?
So he was just one of those really creative, innovative men. But it was really his photography that kind of set him apart because of where he was and when he was taking his pictures.
Yeah, I found that one. That was just very interesting to me. And we also have The Shadow of the Day and the shorts that you had previously mentioned at the opening day.
What I really love about this year's film festival is we have a number of what I would classify as romances. Mm-hmm. Now, the story of Annette Zellman is based on a true story. Mm-hmm. A non-Jewish young man falls in love with Annette Zellman, who is Jewish, and ultimately his parents are uncomfortable that she's Jewish, and they report her to the Gestapo. And she's taken away. Mm. But their connection, their romance it's lovely. It's a lovely story. It certainly is tragic. Mm-hmm. But I would classify it as a romance. Matchmaking is between two different Jewish sects, for lack of a better term, and two Orthodox sects, and they really don't like to mix. And so you have a young man from one and a young woman from another. It's like a Romeo and Juliet story. And both parents aren't all that comfortable. One set of parents is less comfortable. But what he does to win her over mm-hmm. And to convince his family that he wants to be with her is so charming. It's just so charming. It's a really fun, funny, feel-good film. And then The Shadow of the Day would be another one of those, what I would call maybe one of the most romantic films I've ever seen. Maybe it's because it comes out of Italy. I don't know. But it's a really great film. It's taking place in fascist Italy at the time. But what you would expect to be, you know, a terrible ending, which so many of those stories were, this mm-hmm. one's not. Mm. And so you get to really hang on to the romance of that film. And I think it's, I'm a hopeless romantic anyway, but like this film, like Shadow of the Day, I was like, oh my gosh, this film is so good.
Many times film festivals want to make a statement, or it's just not entertainment, but they want to get people to think, or they're focusing on a particular kind of aspect of life that they want people to discover and maybe challenge their thinking about. Does that come into play when you're deciding these movies, or did that have any play in these particular ones? Like you mentioned, there's a lot of romance going on here. Does that make sense what I'm asking?
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. I think that as a committee, we are very aware of having two things, a diversity of storylines and a diversity of genre. Mm-hmm. But then we also want to try and have an interlocking thread that you can really hold on to. That's hard to do with 16 films. So it does, you have to start taking a 30,000 foot view of what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, it's not just about putting on excellent cinema, but we're really also trying to be relevant. And so for us, the way that we think about this is that our film festival is going to help you explore and expand your understanding of what it means to be human. That's really the overall thing that we're going for. And we're trying to create a community in which everyone that comes feels connected, whether you're sitting with family, whether you're sitting with friends, whether you're sitting with strangers. Mm-hmm. It's all about exploring the human condition, and it's all about the universality of that. So whether you're reading subtitles or hearing it in English, we all know what it's like to be betrayed. We all know what it's like to feel fear. We all know what it's like to be madly in love and feel passionate about another person. We all love to laugh. It's those things that break down the other barriers that we seem to always be erecting walls in our lives about being across a political divide or being across a religious divide or whatever. But ultimately, we're all human.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're all wired for human connection.
Yep.
And we want to provide a space that is going to invite people from Jewish and non-Jewish backgrounds who love cinema, who are going to see themselves and the emotions that they feel based on their own personal circumstances. They're going to see something in every one of these films that's going to act as a mirror and reflect back on that. Obviously, we weren't there to go through the Holocaust, but when it comes to betrayal, when it comes to fear, when it comes to perseverance, our audiences are going to see those things and they're going to recognize them in themselves. And that's really what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do these films have music that supports, because it's many times you watch a movie that doesn't have any music in it, it kind of lacks a little bit. Mm-hmm. Are they that involved? Were they?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Fully produced, you know, sound scores.
Okay.
Just what you would expect in
regular movie.
In any regular movie.
Okay.
And some of the soundtracks are beautiful and poignant, and especially in some of the foreign films where, you know, you're not catching it orally as far as the language goes, you're having to read that, but then it's supported by this music. And of course, music doesn't have a language per se, like it right. speaks to all of us.
Right.
Yeah,
it can really drive a lot of emotions, especially in the moment of what's being portrayed on the screen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
John, how do these filmmakers know to submit to your of course you've been around 29 years, but how do you find these films? They find you?
Yeah, most of them find us because there are probably close to half a dozen to 10 main distributors that are curating hundreds of films per year. And we have a number of these distribution agencies that are anymore. It's just you subscribe to their newsletter, you subscribe to their website, and so you're getting sometimes weekly, certainly monthly news releases about the newest films that are available. And then you get on their websites and you're watching previews, and you can ask for screeners. If you're a film festival, they will send you a free screener in a heartbeat for you to watch, for your committee to watch, so that you can start to decide whether or not this is going to be a film you're going to put in your festival.
Right.
So they want to promote their films, and they want their films being shown at as many film festivals, Jewish film festivals across the country and internationally. So these guys are active online 24/7, 365, and so we are. I say we watch nearly 80 films. We could have watched more.
I was going to say It sounds like a committee. So you have to take your time, take two hours, sit down, look at a film. Do you know, like right after? I know when I listened to a song when I was a music director, I could tell you if it's a good song within 20 seconds,
absolutely.
30 seconds. Same way with a film.
I think it's very similar. I think you start a film, and I think within the first 5 or 10 minutes, you are hooked or you're not. If you're not, you might give it a little bit more time because films as stories continue to evolve. And so for me, I would almost always watch everything all the way through because I just didn't want to miss
a
gem. But most of the time, you know, within those first 5 or 10 minutes, if you need to start thinking about this, you know, move it up to that level for consideration, right? Because then you're going to have to look at your for consideration list and narrow that down. But you would know within about 5 minutes if you were going to kick it up the chain.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow. It is interesting. Is it a big committee? How many?
Yeah, 16.
Wow, that's a pretty long committee.
16, and they're so wonderful. We have a number of volunteer committees that work with our cultural arts programs at the J, and they are so wonderful. Most of them are retired. They've done their careers. They want to be plugged into the Jewish community. They want to be plugged into cultural arts, and they show up with the clearest, strongest opinions about what is good and what is not good and the debates that happen. It is so great. Yeah. And
John, as you get older, you'll get that. You'll be that way.
Don't have any more time to talk about it.
No, here it is.
Yeah, you know what? That is such
You'll have your opinion on many things.
It's such a refreshing quality to see someone.
Don't say get off my lawn, though. Don't go there. Okay.
But I do respect and appreciate anyone who can just sit down and say, hey, here's my opinion. Here's what I think about it. And I'm not saying it to offend you.
Right.
I'm not saying it so that we can no longer be friends. I just want to tell you I thought it was a bad film.
Yeah. It was horrible. It was wonderful. How does the three things, you've got the film festival, you've got the book festival, you've got the Jewish theater. How do you manage all that?
Yeah, and we even have one more in there, our youth theater program. As director of cultural arts, when I came on board, I would say about half of my responsibility is to curate the annual Jewish Film Festival. So I don't have a director who is putting that together. But in all the other places, there is a youth theater coordinator. Mm-hmm. There is an artistic director for the new Jewish theater, Rebecca Scallet, and there is a director of literary arts position. And so those directors are in charge of their areas. And so my role is to supervise and support their needs.
Okay.
That may be in grant writing. That may be in going to events and talking to donors and hobnobbing with our patrons. It may be taking some of their tasks off of their plate and onto mine, because to run a five-show full year of professional theater is a lot for one person.
It's demanding.
So as is putting together a two-week book festival and flying in all of these different authors and having all of these different genres and topics being discussed, it's a lot. My toes are dipped into everything, but I'm so thankful for the leadership that I have in those other programs because typically if something's coming to me, it's because they're doing really well and they're getting busier and I might need to step in and help and support and whatnot. But our staff is fantastic.
Mark will say the same thing. We've had directors and some of the staff from all of those in here, from the theater and from the book festival, not from the youth theater, but several times, and really enjoy talking about what's going on, the shows that are taking place. And I can't express enough to the listeners that this is local. This is something that's not coming out from Hollywood. It's being curated here. We see many times things come in here. This is all local. It's great. It's very...
Yeah, the artistic community in St. Louis is really amazing. Whether you're talking about the St. Louis International Film Festival or the Jewish Film Festival, but you've got all of these small and large equity theaters that are producing great art. You've got phenomenal programming for families and for youth in the J, outside the J. This is just such a great community to live in, and I am so incredibly, I just feel so blessed and so fortunate to be where I am. I've only been at the J for a little over a year. I started in January of 23, and just last night, just to pivot to the new Jewish theater, last night was the St. Louis Theater Circle Awards, and the J had, or the new Jewish theater had 24 nominations. The previous season we had 10 nominations and we took home one award. Last night we had 24 nominations. We took 6 awards home.
Congratulations.
And this is in competition with the Muni, with Stages, with St. Louis Rep. Yeah. Thank you for
that's
that
from
applause.
The Pistachio Gallery.
Yeah, that's all. This one. Oh, well, you guys have really upped it. There is no Peanut Gallery. It's a pistachio gallery. This is, wow.
Yeah, we prefer pistachios.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm actually allergic to pistachios.
Uh-oh.
But that's okay. I can hear pistachios applaud. It's okay. I don't need an EpiPen or anything.
That says some tremendous things, though, about what's being done.
Doesn't it?
And yeah.
The quality. Yeah.
It's being recognized. And when you get to that level, folks, you don't want to miss these kinds of things.
No. Listen, I don't know that I would qualify the cultural arts at the J as the best kept secret in St. Louis, because I don't think it's too much of a secret. I think everyone knows that there's some really excellent work going on in the cultural arts at the Jewish Community Center. But I would say if it's not the best kept secret, it's like maybe one of the secrets. I still think there are so many people in our communities that just have no idea the quality of work that is being curated for the public, whether you're going to our film festival, our book festival, enrolling your children into our youth theater program, or coming to our professional theater.
Right.
We're doing incredible work. And you know what? Okay, I'm supposed to say that because I'm the director of culture. But what a joy.
You believe
that it's,
it.
It's the easiest thing to say.
Yeah.
It is such a joy to be able to say that authentically.
Right.
And really mean it.
And not cheerleading it like, well, hey, come on, I'm dragging you up here. Let's go.
Come on.
No, it honestly is. We've had some unbelievable kind of guests here. And the quality of what's being put out is just way, way high. Way high.
Yeah, we're very happy.
So if you want to get tickets, folks, you have to do this quickly. The 29th, you got to figure that one out. The St. Louis Jewish Film Festival at the B&B Theaters in Creve Coeur. That's on Olive between 270 and Lindbergh, April 7th through the 18th. STLJewishFilmFestival.org, STLJewishFilmFestival.org, or you can call 314-442-3179. John, thanks for coming on St. Louis in Tune today.
Arnold, Mark, this has been really great. You guys have a great show. This is really awesome.
We enjoy you.
Well, thanks to the pistachios.
There you go. And okay. you can actually stick around. We have our word of the day.
Oh, boy.
I would love to hear it.
Okay.
I was already impressed, by the way, when you were talking about wiping sand from your feet, and then you made my Hawaii connection.
Yeah, and there
so,
you go.
So I thought, man, this guy does his homework.
I know.
I want to remind people about our new website, stlintune.com, stlintune.com. You will be able to see John and hear this interview and get a little bit more information from the show notes there as soon as I'm able to post that. Our word of the day. Commodious. Commodious.
What?
Has nothing to do with a commode. Don't worry about that.
Are you sure?
But it's having a lot of space, like a commodious room or a commodious house or an apartment. I would say the studio here is not very commodious. Mm-hmm. It's a room where you've got a fireplace and a TV, or maybe you have a commodious garage where you can pull in... Oh, not pulling a car. You can store stuff.
Can it be metaphysical? Can it be a commodious heart?
Ooh, very good.
That is good.
I would say John has a commodious heart as he talks about what he does for a living.
Yeah, that would.
I like that.
Yeah, that fits in good. There.
Does that work?
Yeah, I think that works.
Can you come up with one, Mark? Commodious?
No, I have to think about it.
Mark's bandwidth is not commodious.
No, that's right.
Ooh, yes.
Right.
We can shift to, we do have some funny things that we do here on the show also.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You have your day of the day.
I don't know. I'm trying to look them up and I'm finding nothing. There's not really.
There's no day today?
Not really. Respect your cat day? Nah.
You have a cat? What are you talking about?
I got two. I know.
Yeah.
Good hair day? It's good hair day.
And I always have a good hair day.
Yeah, you do. Lack thereof. Never mind. There's not much going. Of course, Easter and Passover, everything's just around the corner coming up.
Right.
National Pack Your Lunch Day. Did you ever pack your lunch?
Yes. My mom packed our lunch when I was kids.
Check Your Batteries Day.
There's a day for checking your batteries?
Isn't that crazy? I know.
Does that relate to like smoke detectors or something like that? Or the push-button locks on your door?
Right. Could be. Mm. Let's see if I can find it. I know. See if there's any more.
He's Mr.
I know,
Dead
you
Day.
Caught me on off guard here.
I'm sorry.
Red Wagon Day? What? Who? Who knew? That's why I say I'm struggling here.
You know what? You want to respect your cat, you put him in a red wagon.
And check the battery.
Check their batteries, walk them around the commodious apartment that you may or may not live in.
It's National Joe Day. Do you know anybody named Joe?
What
World Theater Day. Here you go.
This is
just right up your alley here.
It is? John. It's World Theater Day?
It is, John.
Why weren't
John
my Wilson. Spidey senses tingling?
I don't know. Your Spidey senses. That's right. It's World Theater Day.
Well,
a perfect day to celebrate art through music, dance, drama, and the live stage performances.
There you go.
Okay. Now,
who
now
knew? Who
that,
knew? See, once
Mark,
in a while, they're legitimate.
Thank you.
I know.
Five minutes in, you did deliver.
It took me a while. I know. I didn't want to go over Scribble Day. It's Scribble Day, too.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I'm really struggling today with it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm slow.
And these are national days?
Not national days that they have made. I don't know if Congress.
Probably.
That's all they do. But these are, there's a website.
Why does that make so much sense? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, that's all from here. Howard DeMere.
Did you play golf?
I played golf when I was in college at Arizona State. I had some buddies that I would go golfing with. And that's what you do in Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, golf is the adult version of an Easter egg hunt.
That is particularly true if you're playing golf with me. You will definitely get wet, and you will definitely be in sand if you're playing golf with me looking for your ball.
The principal of a school said, "Hey, your child has been causing problems in school." The parent said, "My child causes problems at home, too. Do I ever call you?"
Don't encourage him, John.
I can't wait to retire so I can get up at 6 in the morning and go drive around really slow and make everyone late for work. I'm so single right now that I stood on a cliff and shouted, "I love you." And my echo replied, "I just want to be friends." every chef on TV today, this is what they do. "I'm going to show you how to make something with simple ingredients everyone has in their pantry."
Right.
"I'm starting with Madagascar vanilla, hemp milk, and a single feather from a dodo bird." I don't always lose stuff, but when I do, it's because my wife moved it.
No. Sorry.
Hey, listen, those pistachios are very clever.
They are.
And Mark, I'm on a light diet.
Yeah.
I eat by daylight, moonlight, and sometimes refrigerator light.
Okay, there we go. Okay, what about the seafood diet? Seafood, eat it?
I know that one.
Just love it.
Okay.
See, I'll close with this one. A wife being the romantic sort sent her husband a text. "If you're sleeping, send me your dreams. If you're laughing, send me your smile. If you're eating, send me a bite. If you're drinking, send me a sip. If you're crying, send me your tears. I love you." Husband, typically non-romantic, replied, "I'm on the toilet. Please advise."
Thank you so much. One more time. Take a bow.
Man, folks.
It's a tough room.
That's all for this hour.
Thank goodness.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can listen to additional shows at stlintune.com. Consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or your preferred podcast platform. Your feedback helps us reach more listeners and continue to grow. Thanks to Bob Berthasell for our theme music and co-host Mark Langston. And we thank you for being a part of our community of curious minds. St. Louis in Tune is a production of Motif Media Group and the U.S. Radio Network. Remember to keep seeking, keep learning, walk worthy, and let your light shine. For St. Louis in Tune, I'm Arnold Stricker.